Hello, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you made time to join us today. We hope that learning English is something that matters to you, so you schedule it during your day. Today, we are talking about making time for what matters. I'm your teacher, Ruth, and we have some other very organized people with us today. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Ruth, and hi, listeners. Good to be here.
And do you make time for what matters?
I think that I do. I've been working on my time management, I would say, in the last year.
Okay. And Simon, how is your time management?
I think it's usually pretty good, but sometimes I wonder if I'm spending too much time managing my time and not enough getting the things done on my list.
I think many of our listeners might have the same feeling. What about you, Campbell?
I am trying, but it's not my strength. I am not very administrative, so sometimes I can get a little messy.
Well, maybe you'll get some ideas from this article then
to help you.
We'll see. All right, if you haven't yet, listeners, please open your magazines to page 20. We're going to begin reading in the first column.
Make time for what matters. Don't let technology and overstimulation derail your workday. You know the feeling of operating on autopilot, running from one meeting to the next, or bouncing from one email distraction to another. Before you know it, the month has passed, the season has changed, and you're left scratching your head, wondering how to bring meaning back to your career and life. Corey Kogan, Franklin Covey productivity expert and co-author of The 5 Choices to Extraordinary Productivity, says the problem is widespread. In fact, an international 6-year study by Franklin Covey found that 40% of respondents indicated they spent 40% of their time on things that were not important to them or to their companies. Our attention is under attack, and people feel overwhelmed like never before, Kogan says.
All right, so the teaser for our article is don't let technology and overstimulation derail your work. What do they mean by derail, Simon?
Well, derail comes from trains. And when a train is derailed, it means it goes off its rails. It falls off those steel rails that it's supposed to be falling. And so basically you have a giant train wreck. And that's what can happen with our work days if we're...
So what can derail your day?
Oh, are we listing them on the radio?
Sometimes give us one
meetings,
example.
Sometimes meetings can derail your workday. Sometimes some sort of unexpected emergency that someone has can derail your workday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we could also say you get off track. Mm-hmm. It would be kind of the same idea, is that you're focusing on doing one thing and an interruption comes up that takes you away from that focus mm-hmm. that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So how can technology derail your workday?
Well, you know, you might be working and then all of a sudden you hear your phone go bling and it's a text message and you end up in this conversation with your friend over text message or, you know, Facebook pops up or, you know, oh, I'm just going to check, see, you know, for a few minutes and you end up spending like 3 hours on Facebook, you know, so things like that.
Well, I think that is one of the dangers of technology. As soon as you hear that bring, you immediately want to go and check that. It's not like you can let it sit there and wait. Well, what if it's an urgent thing?
Right.
And often it's not.
Yes.
Exactly. It's often you are right. It is not urgent. It just draws your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Or what we would say is sucks you in because mm-hmm. for one moment becomes, like Campbell said, 3 hours. Then sucking you in or taking your attention away from more important details.
That's right. So technology can derail your day. What about overstimulation?
Well, we live in an overstimulated society. Basically, everything is instant. We're constantly bombarded with information, especially on social media, Facebook, Twitter. So constantly there's articles and pictures and posts and different things that are coming at us. So it's hard to focus sometimes.
Because you're just getting so much input all the time. All right, so if we go to the first part of our article, it says, you know the feeling of operating on autopilot.
That's right. And an autopilot is the device in an airplane that lets the plane fly by itself. In the same way, when a person is on autopilot, it means they're doing their work without really thinking about it, just doing it automatically.
The example I think of is sometimes I'm driving my car and I'm thinking about something else, and I'll drive home and I didn't mean to drive home. I meant to go somewhere else, but I was on autopilot.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact example. Sometimes I'm on my way to work and then, you know, all of a sudden I'll be like, wait, how did I get here? You know, because I'm just so used to driving. I don't even have to think about it. I'm just, you know, so used to driving that same road. So that's that same idea.
Exactly. Something that you're so familiar with that it's become part of you, and you just do it automatically, which is where the idea of autopilot comes from. So you're on autopilot, you're going from one meeting to another, or you're bouncing from one email distraction to another. We have a lot of distractions during the day, don't we?
We do, and a distraction is just something that takes your attention or focus away from what you should be concentrating on. Distractions, for example, like somebody calling you over for a conversation could be a distraction, or the phone calling and you end up talking to that person for quite a long time. Or in this case, they're talking about technology distracting us, an email, a text message, something like that.
Yes. So we have all these things that we deal with every day. And before we know it, time has passed, months, weeks, and then all of a sudden you're realizing, well, what actually did I get accomplished? Mm-hmm. You're wondering how to find some meaning in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're left scratching your head.
Right. I love this idiom, scratching your head. It's just kind of the idea that, you know, you're confused and you're trying to think about, okay, what happened here? You know, so when we talk about someone scratching their head, they're confused, they're not sure exactly what happened, they're trying to figure things out.
Yes, and this can happen on the short term. You get to the end of a week and you think, wow, what did I really get done this week?
Mm-hmm.
Or here, it's a little bit more serious. They're saying your career or your life, you're really looking at the whole picture thinking, what? How did I get here and how can I get meaning back into that? And then we're introduced to a woman named Corey Kogan. She works for Franklin Covey. Does anybody know what that is?
It's an organization or a company that looks into productivity or how we can studies, researches how we can do that better.
That's right. They provide time management training and they assess your organization and see how you're using your time and how you can be more efficient. I think probably many of you listeners have read the book Seven Habits of a Highly Effective Person, which was written by Stephen Covey, and he was one of the founders of this particular organization. So it's basically just a company that helps people use their time better. And this woman, Corey Kogan, is a productivity expert. And she's written a book. What is productivity, Campbell?
Productivity is being able to use your time wisely and getting things done.
All right. And is problems with productivity a widespread problem?
Oh, a widespread problem. Very big. We're not very good at using our time well.
Yes. In fact, she said in this study that 40% of the people who answered, the respondents, said they spend 40% of their time on things that are not important.
Yeah, to either them or to their companies.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's almost half their time.
It's really not important.
No.
Well, you know, because sometimes you can see things being important to you, but the company doesn't care, or sometimes maybe the company needs it, but you don't really like it too much. But if it's not important to either, then it's really a waste of time.
Mm. Exactly. And I won't ask you to say the percentage of your time you feel like you waste on things like that. But listeners, maybe you want to think about that. Think about how you use your time. Do you spend time on things that are important to you or your company? Mm-hmm. Or do you just feel like you're spinning your wheels? You're just not really getting anything done. And she goes on to say here in line 17, our attention is under attack. So there's all these things coming at us all the time. It's attacking our time, and we feel overwhelmed.
Yeah, when we feel overwhelmed, the idea is just feeling like, oh, there's just too much to process. I don't know where to go. You kind of feel stressed. You feel pressure. You just don't really know which direction you should head in.
So, and that feeling is what derails our workday or our lives. It can. So we need to think about how we can change that cycle, how we can stop being overwhelmed. So let's look at the problems. Let's outline the problems and see if we can get some ideas.
outlining the problems. Anchored in the timeless principles of human productivity and backed by the latest neuroscience research, Kogan's co-authored book aims to help people increase productivity at work and in their personal lives by making wise choices on a daily basis. Kogan says the premise is that people live with the effects of a productivity paradox. Technology has left individuals feeling overwhelmed with the number of decisions they must make during the day, the number of tasks that require their attention, and the drain of their personal energy. Adam Merrill, another co-author of The Five Choices, says that the book's research made him much more cognizant of how these challenges take a toll on individuals. You can see the cost of this on our daily lives, on our relationships that have not been nurtured, and on our goals that have not been met, Merrill says. People waste time, attention, and energy on things that don't drive the most important results.
Well, Corey Kogan, as we said before, has written a book, or she's written a book with some other people, called The Five Choices to Extraordinary Productivity. And what is in this book? What kind of principles are in it, Amanda?
Well, we see that they're anchored in the timeless principles of human productivity and backed by the latest neuroscience research. So when something is timeless, it means there is no end to it. Time does not contain it, so it can be used in the future as well. It will also apply to the future. And when we say something is backed by something, it's supported or it's proving something. So these principles are backed by neuroscience research.
That's right. And I think sometimes, you know, we've always done something and we did it in the past and we do it now and it's a good thing to do. And then all of a sudden science does research and say, hey, that really is a good thing to do.
Right.
So it's something that we've always known, but now we have proof. So neuroscience, the study of the brain and the nerves, has backed up this research. And this book aims to help people do what, Simon?
Well, it aims to help them make good choices. It tells us here in the article that she's trying to help people increase their productivity at work and in their personal lives. And so she's helping them do that by helping them learn to make wise choices every day on a daily basis.
And sometimes I think we don't consciously sit down and say, okay, what should I do, A or B? We just kind of go and do it depending on how we're being pulled.
Yeah, based on our feelings or our emotions. But, you know, and that's one of the reasons I've kind of stopped watching TV and movies, because I feel like it's entertaining and sometimes you do need to relax. But I just wonder, after the 2 hours of watching it, what do I get out of it? You know, it's just those 2 hours of entertainment and then nothing.
Right. So that's good, because you're thinking and evaluating how you spend your time, and perhaps we need to take more time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So Kogan says the premise, the idea, or the principle that she's working on is that people live with the effects of a productivity paradox.
Right, and paradox means that there are two opposing characters or facts about something, and so it makes it impossible or difficult to make a decision about it.
Right. So it's the idea that actually within the situation there's true and false elements, and you can't really tell which is which. Like if I say, this statement is false, that's a paradox, because in other words, for it to be true that statements are false, then the statement is true, not false. Boy, does that confuse people. Anyway, that's the idea of a paradox, is that it can't be true and false at the same time,
right,
but it could be either one.
Mm-hmm.
So how has technology affected us in our productivity, Simon?
Well, it's interesting, because before, when we were talking about technology, people were talking about the draw to social media and distraction that comes from technology.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about a very different sort of, I guess it's also a timeless problem, the broken printer, like in your office, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to do some work. You need these printed papers to do the work, but the printer isn't working. And so you have to make this paradoxical choice between fixing the printer, wasting your time to fix the printer, or going on with your work and figuring out a different way without the papers you need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we get that all the time. Things like maybe the internet goes off for a little mm-hmm. while, or mm-hmm. again, like you have a printer problem, or you're out of ink, or you have to wait in line to use something in the office, or whatever. There's all kinds of these disruptions that happen all the time that create these paradoxes for us, where we have to decide what to do next
mm-hmm.
when there really maybe isn't a right answer.
Right.
And it just depends on what, then again, you have to make a judgment as to which is more important, to fix the printer or just to go on with your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the idea also is just with technology, people are doing more things, but they're getting less done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that is kind of the paradox as well, that you're doing a lot, but you're not necessarily getting things done. And so you're getting a lot of information, people are sending you text messages, and maybe you're responding to a lot of these things, and you're doing a lot of things, but these things aren't necessarily helping you accomplish the tasks that will make your life better.
Exactly. So again, it comes down to evaluating what is important, what's not important, what's urgent, what's not urgent, which we will get into later. But technology also has provided, as Campbell said, all of this instant information. You're being bombarded by it. And because you're getting all these instant questions and requests, then you're feeling overwhelmed because you feel like you have to respond to all of these. For example, when someone sends you a line message, mm-hmm. they expect you to respond right away, don't they?
Right, yeah. And actually, I was just thinking about that because sometimes with my line, I get 200, 300 messages. And when I see that, there's something in me that feels like I don't like seeing like 300, 400. I'm just like, okay, I want to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, I know it's going to take me time. So sometimes I put that off and then it gets up to 4,000, 400, 500, And so where is that balance? And I don't want to sit there on my phone taking care of line messages when my daughters are sitting there waiting
right.
for me to talk to them, play with
mm-hmm.
them, So where's that balance?
Exactly. So technology can give us that feeling of an urgent thing to do, but it's not really important. Mm-hmm. There's other important things to do. So we feel overwhelmed by technology either because our technology is not working properly and we feel that our work has stopped because of that, or we just have so many things that are given to us to do each day that come via technology. So the number of tasks that require our attention just drains your energy. We feel really tired at the end of the day.
We do. I know, for example, just like Campbell said about line messages, you look at that and just actually seeing it, like you said, can cause a physical response of
mm-hmm.
tiredness, right? Emails have that same effect. You look at how many emails you have or what tasks you still need to be doing, but you haven't been focusing on it, but you still need to go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
All those things can leave you feeling really drained.
That's right. So then we go on here in line 32. We learn the name of another one of the authors of this book, Adam Merrill. And he says that the book's research made him more cognizant how these challenges take a toll on individuals.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about someone becoming more cognizant, means that they're more aware and they understand more of the situation. So he's more aware of how the challenges of technology and being bombarded with information takes a toll on individuals.
Right, and when something takes a toll on something else, it means that you feel like there's been a price paid. It's making you tired, or it's causing you to feel not very good about yourself.
Right, or caused harm, perhaps even to your physical body.
That's right. It's the same word we see in toll booth when you're driving down the highway and you have
mm-hmm.
to stop to pay a little bit of money to use the road, paying a toll.
And
we
that
have
can
a lot
hurt
of,
your wallet, right?
Yeah. We have a lot of words about travel today, even though it's about time. We're talking about derail is kind of
uh-huh.
like train, and then autopilot with the plane, and now the toll booth here.
Hmm. So. Right.
I suppose that's because in English we often compare progress to a journey or to travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about our life's journey, and we talk about, staying on track, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Right, and you can even refer to your life sometimes as being a train wreck
right.
when you just feel so totally out of control.
Yes.
Especially when you're derailed.
Right.
All the work you're doing.
I
right?
see what you did there.
So this idea of take a toll, for example, if you don't get enough sleep, that takes a toll on your health.
Mm-hmm.
It takes away from your good health because you're not doing something you should.
Right.
So we can see that the cost of this, the cost of not being able to manage your time, it really does affect our daily lives and our relationships that have not been nurtured because we're not taking the time. Mm-hmm. How do you nurture a relationship, Campbell?
Well, you need to spend time. I know we have an article in this month's magazine as well about that, you know, using technology, again, the idea of using technology, but in a way to add to your relationship rather than take away from it.
So, for example, for you to nurture your relationship with your daughters, mm-hmm. what do you do?
Well, I need to make a conscious effort to put the phone away and to spend time with them, reading to them, playing with them, talking to them, you know, and giving them my undivided attention. And same with my wife, you know, mm-hmm. making time to schedule a date night or making time to schedule time for just the two of us. Because it's easy with, you know, the kids need our attention, you know, my parents need my attention, my job needs my attention. So if I don't make that conscious effort to put time aside for her, it's mm-hmm. easy to just go through a week without really even talking to her.
Right. And then you get to the end of the week and you feel like you haven't really done anything to nurture those relationships that are important to you. Mm-hmm. And maybe, listeners, you sometimes feel that way, is that you're so busy doing things or taking care of things that you don't spend the time with, you know, your husband or wife or children. And we need to make the time to nurture those relationships.
Right.
So people, he says, waste time, attention, and energy on things that don't drive the most important results.
Right, and here drive just means they don't force results to happen, or in this case, important results to happen. So our attention gets taken away on the important things, we're focusing on unimportant things, and that leaves us without any energy as well.
That's right. I think of an example. Since I write studio classroom articles and I'll be working on writing something and focused on getting the paragraph just right, and then I'll get an email that will say, Ruth, what's the difference between compare with and compare to? And then the grammar question. Then immediately I want to go and start looking for the right answer to that question, and I'm totally taken away from what I was focusing on. And what I should do is not even look at that, but just finish what I'm doing first.
Yeah. Right? I think the challenge for me is I want to do it right away because I'm afraid if I don't respond right away, I'm going to forget. You know, I'm going to put it aside and I'm not going to remember. So I want to take care of that. But then something else comes along as I'm taking care of that, and I end up, you know, moving on to that next thing. And basically, I've got a pile of half-finished work that I've not done.
Mm. And sometimes, too, for me, is that if it's something that I think won't take very much time, I will do it just because then I can feel like I accomplished something.
Yes.
I finished something.
Right.
And yet, was it really very important? Mm-hmm. It wasn't an important thing, and consequently, what was important is just still sitting there simmering in the pot.
Right. Mm. I mean, I'm constantly amazed by you because I know you work from home mostly. So, you know, it's not like for us, we're like, okay, this is our office time, and, you know, I'm getting my work done, and then I'm going to go home. Like, you mm-hmm. are at home, and you're working from home. So how do you organize your time in that way?
Well, it's not always easy because one thing bleeds into another. It's very easy to just work all the time because mm-hmm. the computer is there.
Right.
Mm. Or it's easy to say, oh, I can do that later because I have to finish doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the whole idea of time wasting? Is there anything that wastes your time, Simon?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to list them all on the radio, of course, but it's interesting to me because this, of course, is a management article, and mm-hmm. so at least a big part of this idea is to help people focus at work. But these same principles, they obviously also apply to home life as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
I think that's kind of interesting stuff. I think often our time is wasted by the little things. You've been mentioning that a lot. But I think for most people, we don't have a very effective way of listing and keeping track of little things
yes.
that have to be done.
Right.
And like Campbell said, he's afraid he'll forget if mm-hmm. He doesn't do it. But I think those are probably the biggest time wasters mm-hmm. Because they end up sort of piling up. Like once you've done one, you might as well do another mm-hmm. and another mm-hmm. and another, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes this is also driven by the person who's made the request to you.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they want you to drop everything, right, mm-hmm. and answer their question.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell them to wait a minute, then they get frustrated because they feel like their productivity is being stopped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So somehow you have to work with other people again to manage your time. It's not just you. It's how other people affect you. All right, so in today's lesson, if we could think about one principle or one idea that we'd like our listeners to remember, what would that be? Amanda?
I think for me, I liked the idiom, scratching your head. Perhaps you're left scratching your head at the end of the day when you realize you didn't get everything done that you wanted to get done. And that just means that you're confused about what happened, or you need to think very hard about something. Perhaps you're thinking very hard right now about how you can change your time management. So I really like that phrase.
That's good. What about you, Simon? What do you think?
In today's section of this article, we haven't really gotten into solutions for improving your time management, but I think the sort of big message today is that we need to learn to be cognizant of when we are running on autopilot, or when we are doing things without really knowing why we're doing them, or in sort of a purposeless way. And I think being aware of that is probably an important first step towards managing your time well.
Exactly, I agree. Campbell?
Well, I think the idea of the paradox is that technology has allowed us to be more productive in some ways, but in some other ways it's caused us to be more overwhelmed and less productive. So that conflict of getting things done but not really getting things done.
Exactly. You're getting a lot done, but you may not be getting the things done that you really need to do. Well, listeners, thank you for joining us today. Think about your time management and whether you're cognizant of how you use your time. And tomorrow we're going to be getting into some solutions, some probable solutions for this problem, so we hope you'll join us. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.